I'd like to read to us very quickly before we begin tonight from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3. Habakkuk, chapter 3. This is just a word for us. I dropped on my mind while we're praying for Nigeria, also praying for ourselves. I don't mind if the media help us to project it. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. All right, so I think we should read together. Let's just read together from verse 17. Habakkuk, do we know where it is? All right, so it's projected already, so we can read together. Verse 17 to 19. Habakkuk 3, yes. So, although the fig tree, can we go together? Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the holy shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like the ant's feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. With all intentionality, I'd like us to put this to heart this evening. These are times and seasons that we need to be very, very deliberate and intentional about our confession of faith. The Bible says that the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful who has promised. Let us hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who has promised. I'd like us to hold on to God's word in the midst, in the middle, in spite and despite all the happenings around. You know, shortly this morning, I just flipped through the news and it's becoming real that probably we're not going to be buying fuel, you know, anything less than 1,000 naira in Nigeria. It's sad, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is, like they always say. But our joy, our consolation, our hope, and our confidence is in the infallible truth of God's word. We can rest. We can find solace. We can find peace. We can find settlement in these promises of God. They are not just written for us to just feel that maybe it was written to some people in time past. Bible says everything, like we were taught on Sunday, they were written for us to learn. For us to learn. We can learn from these promises. It's still valid till date. And I trust God that our heart will be strengthened these days and in this season. We will not only survive this period, but we will thrive in the mighty name of Jesus. We will come out strong and we will better people in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that we are gathered together this evening to study God's word. It's a privilege to have the luxury of the word at our disposal to engage and to, you know, study and to understand. Like the scripture says, that study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it's a season, it's a time that shame can be clothed, we can be covered with shame because of the things that are happening around us. But then, because we are students of God's word, we have God's word at our disposal, we'll study, we'll find the truth that will set us free. We'll find the promise to lay hold on and to run with. We will fight the good fight of faith. We will lay hold on eternal life and we will not be put to shame. Like the scripture says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 20, it says that in nothing shall ye be ashamed. In nothing, can we say to yourself, just say it to yourself, in nothing shall I be ashamed. In nothing shall I be ashamed. I also remember the scripture in Isaiah chapter 50 verse 7. The scripture was saying that or I will not be confounded, because I've set my face like a flint. But the Lord God will help me. Thank you, sir. Therefore, will I not be confounded? Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. I laid on that scripture many, many years ago, and that scripture has kept me strong. I know the word of God is still valid. It's an eternal truism, and it's real all through generation and ages. We can rest. We can be secured, in understanding God's word and laying hold on to it. So thank you for coming this evening. And I trust God, the word God has said to do in our heart is a heart thing. What God is said to do in our heart, He will do in the name of Jesus. We will not miss out tonight in Jesus' name. Our time is fast spent, but then what we have to do, we just have to do. All right, let's go straight to what we have today. This is the third in the series, The Goodness of God. The goodness of God. Last week, I remember sharing with us, particularly on the two aspects of the goodness of God as written in Psalm 119, verse 96. Talking about the perfection of the conduct of God. The perfection of the conduct of the character of God, the perfection of the character of God, and then the pleasantness of the conduct of God. The two embedded in that, very short scripture, Psalm 119, verse 98, talking about the perfection of the character of God. That's all that our study centered on last week. The perfection of the character of God, and then the pleasantness of His conduct. Talking about His nature, and then we went on to talk about His heart. I wrote something here which I like to just read to us very briefly before we continue tonight. We talk about the perfection of God's character and the pleasantness of His conduct. This is an eternal truism, and it is not subject to any varying conditions of mundane things that we interact with on daily basis in life. It is not subject. The conduct of God, His character, His nature, which is all about His goodness, is not subject to anything. God is eternally good, like I've said it countless times. It is not subject to any constitution which requires certain ratification from men. God's goodness is not subject to a senate where they will have to debate whether His goodness is real, and then the Senate president will have to say, let the hay have his, before we could ascertain or lay hold on the fact that the goodness of God is real and is true. No, God is true and is eternally true. We'll read our psalm again this evening as we continue. So that's the summary of what we just looked at last week. The perfection of His nature, of His character, His person. And not to stress that too much, then the pleasantness of His conduct. God says that I am love. He told us that He didn't just say that He's love. He came and demonstrated what love really means, because He gave us His Son. When He says that I am your refuge and I'm going to defend you, we saw it demonstrated in the life, of the children of Israel. When He said in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13 and 14, He says, you will not have to fight in this battle. So you're going to hold your peace, and I'm going to fight for you. And so God, His nature, and his conduct, they are consistent. There is no disparity as to His personality and what he's capable of doing. That's what I'm saying in essence. What God says he is indeed. Because he has the capacity to bring it to manifestation. And the whole essence of the goodness of God is the manifestation of who God says he is. In nature and in character and in conduct. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we read Psalm 107. We are in verse 15 now. Psalm 107. We are in verse 15. So we continue from verse 16. And then we'll stop at verse 21. And then this evening, I'm going to be bringing out some points from what we've read so far as to the goodness of God in this particular chapter. Praise the Lord. Can we rise to our feet? Reverently, I request and I appeal to us. Sorry for bothering us. But we are going to do a honor to God's word. We'll read together from verse 16 down to 21. Can we go? For he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manners of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Verse 21. Oh, that man will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so, having said all of these about the goodness of God, tonight we're going to look at a particular aspect of the goodness of God, talking about how God has actually revealed his goodness. How God has revealed his goodness. We're going to look into scriptures, and then we're going to examine things all around us to bring to bring facts to before us, you know, to also ascertain the goodness of God, to come to that full grasp of the essence of the goodness of God. So when we talk about the fact that God is good, and he demonstrates his goodness by his conduct, maybe you have yet to come to that agreement. Maybe life has become so battered and issues of life has eaten deep at you that you find it so hollow, so superficial to come to terms that God is good. You know, it's easy, like I say, that with all of the challenges, someone might confidently or stupidly say that, where is the goodness of God in all of this? Maybe life has been so rough and tough, and it's difficult. It's difficult, like it is for so many people in the world. Thank God that we are believers today. So maybe it's difficult to come to that realization and acceptance, utmost acceptance, accepting without any iota of doubt or controversy in our heart that indeed the goodness of God is real. Talking about what we go through in this country, it's very easy and convenient for somebody to say that if God is indeed good, why do we have to go through all of this? Somebody asked sometimes that if God knew that the whole earth would be like this, why did he have to create man and put man in this mess? How do you answer such question? That God, who says that he is Alpha and he is Omega, he is Omniscience and Omniscience, he knows all things. How could he have created man? Didn't God know that the devil is going to dominate this world at some point, and there will be so much wickedness, there will be so much evil in the land? And yet God still went ahead and created man and put man on this earth. Didn't God know? How could you tell me and convince me that God is good, that his goodness is good? So it's possible that someone might stoop so low
and find it difficult to comprehend. Maybe you just don't want to go there. You just want to live in a world of fantasies. You know, just accept what comes. And then you don't want to bother yourself by whatever anybody says about this God. Say, whatever will be, let it just be. I'm not bothered. I'm not worried about anything. After all, nothing seems to be good in all of us. So don't come and disturb my mind. Let me just be living my life as best as I could. You know, so you don't just want to go there. Maybe the circumstances and the issues of life are so threatening and so troubled. Then your options are very few. Your options to come to understand and accept the goodness of God. Maybe you look around, what option do I have left? What option? What has life brought to me? What does life really have to offer me in all of this? So tonight I'm going to help us some more, and then through the lenses of the scriptures, to come to understand the goodness of God by the way God has chosen to reveal himself to us. Praise the Lord. There are about four things I'd like to show us tonight. About four things. But maybe because of time, we're just going to limit it to three and talk about the goodness of God. Number one, we're going to look at the story of creation. We're going to look at the story of creation, and then we're going to be seeing how God reveals his goodness by virtue of the natural things, natural blessings that we see all around. Can I say to us this before we proceed? That these natural things, blessings that God chooses or that are around us for us to understand his goodness, I like to state that that is the lowest way that God could reveal himself to us. And this is the most ignored aspect of God's goodness being revealed to us. It is the aspect that we take for granted mostly. It is the most ignored. We oftentimes don't even take note of them. Oftentimes we just ignore them because, of course, when the Bible says that God is good to all, he ensures that the sun shines on the good and on the bad. You know, there is rain. You don't have to pray for rain to fall. You know, the sun just comes out at their own due time and all of that. So there is every tendency for us to ignore all of that. So God's goodness, like I said, from the story of creation, ensures the perfection of creation. One of the things that the goodness of God does in the story of creation is that it is the perfection of creation. God's goodness is seen all through creation as being perfect. At every moment of God's working out creation, we saw the pauses, we saw the emphasis, we saw the acknowledgement that God brings to our knowledge. And Bible says that God saw that what he has made is good. Have you read that in the scripture in Genesis chapter 1? You see it in verse 4, in verse 10, in verse 18, and in verse 21, I think. So you see the perfection of the creation. You see the perfection of God's goodness at work in creation. And then also, another fact that I like to bring to our notice is the fact that apart from the goodness of God being the perfection of creation, it is also the act of God to ensure the provision for the creatures. God ensures that the creatures is perfectly and sufficiently provided for. The creation lacks nothing from beginning. God created all things and ensures that what creatures we need to survive and to thrive and to reproduce itself was fully provided. Do you agree with that? All right. So, and then the third thing that the goodness of God also did, apart from being the perfection of creation, being the provision for the creatures, He also ensures the possibilities of recreation. So all of the things, all of the possibilities that recreation story brings to light is at the mercy of the goodness of God. And that's the last aspect that I'm going to be showing us. We're just going to touch on that this evening, talking about the possibilities of recreation. You and I are beneficiary of that goodness, that God could ensure that out of a fallen humanity could emerge a people that could be called the remnant of God, a people that could be called the chosen of God, a royal priesthood, people who are not just mortal beings, but people who carry the personality of God on their inside, who carry the spirit of God. That is the height of the goodness of God in manifestation. And we're going to come to that tonight. Praise the living Jesus. So like I said to Russell, it's the lowest. It's talking about the natural blessings, it's the lowest that we could come to before we understand that this is the way God reveals himself. You know, unbelievers, people who do not even acknowledge God, they see the work, the works of creation. They see all of the things, the natural things that are banned in the universe. And then sometimes they wonder, something must be behind this. You know, I heard the story of, Tyre Solarin. This is somebody who never professed that God was great or probably God was in existence. It's time to be an atheist. So the story goes thus that, repeatedly he's been in and out of prison. The government will pick him and then they will release him. They will arrest him again and then they will release him. And so this particular point in time, they arrested him again and then they arraigned him before the court. And then on being discharged and acquitted for that particular case that was arrested, coming out of the court, all the media people were all around. And then just right at the entrance, some prosecutors came. Say, Prof. Tyre Solarin, you are under arrest. And then the next thing that comes out of the noble professor was that, oh, God. You know what that means? Somebody who does not acknowledge the existence of God. You know, it comes to a point in time in our lives that whether we like it or not, we will recognize this God. Like the scripture says, that all that heareth prayers, unto thee shall all flesh come. Unto thee shall all flesh come. So people who don't believe God, they don't, but then, one way or the other, they still acknowledge God. So it's the lowest. I've just talked about somebody who doesn't believe God. So that's just the lowest thing that you could use to describe. You know, when you just wander around and then you look at life and everything around and then you just conclude that God is just awesome. You need no revelation. You need no light. You need no, studying of God's word to come to that reality because you see it all around. You know, it wasn't difficult for David, as it clearly states. He was moved by God, by his goodness particularly, expressed in the created order. He saw the order of creation. He saw how things were meticulously done, how God laid out the foundation of the earth, set the sun in its orbit, the stars, the moon, and the work of creation, the grasses, the field, the seas, the oceans, the inhabitants of the oceans, things that are banned in creation. It wasn't difficult for somebody who could see and who could look beyond the happenings around and come to a comprehension that indeed God is good and his goodness endures forevermore. The Lord is good to all, like the Bible says. It says he has compassion on all that he has made. He has compassion on all that he has made. And so God's goodness is expressed in the created order. Every relationship, every job, every sound of the bird in the field, every sound, the rising of the ocean. If you've been to beach, you see how the majestic, expression of the natural waves, how those things come together. You really cannot explain sometimes. Sometimes science tries in their effort to give an explanation to all of this, but they are all expression and the manifestation of the goodness of God. From time immemorial, man has explored these possibilities, these realities, talking about the unnessing of the potentials of sunlight, renewable energy, the unnessing of the power of the wind to generate electricity, the things that humanity has done with these natural stuffs to make life comfortable and convenient. They are products, they are outputs of the goodness of God. They are manifestation of the goodness of God. You know, when the days of the children of Israel, the times that David actually lived, science was not explicit like it is today. Science is not something that people have come to comprehend fully, but then they still have an understanding because they practice science, they practice all sort of things. And then in their own limited understanding, in their own limited knowledge of science, they could still describe. Some words are better described even than we use words today when you read the Bible. You read the Bible, you look at the words that some of these people used to describe the goodness of God, the works of creation. And so David was in Psalm chapter 145. That's a hymn of praise. It celebrates God's goodness expressed in created order. And you read that psalm from Psalm 145 from beginning. It's found out the praises of the goodness of God. Like I said, that his goodness to us abound in the work of creation. Look in every corner of this world, every part of your day, as you come out in the morning, the rising of the sun, as you come out in Christmas time, sometimes we are bored with rain. The moment that break comes and that special light comes towards Christmas, we sense something different, something refreshing about all of those. And then maybe it's been dry season for a period, and then by the time the first rain drops, there's a feeling that comes with that as well. People who are into agriculture, there's a feeling that comes into that. People who understand the importance of some of these things, there are people who feed on all of those knowledge. So on daily basis, the generosity of God overflows in all of this. He has not withheld any good thing in the works of creation. Nothing. If you read the book of Genesis, because of our time, I intended that we're going to read that long chapter. But because of time, we're not going to be able to do that. I'm just going to pick points from there for us to buttress some of these things that we're seeing. In verse 4, Bible talked about the fact that God, after he has created night, light, and there was light, the beauty of light, God saw the light that it was good. It was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and it was good. We enjoy day, we enjoy night. During night season, we always look forward to the light season, the morning season. And like the scripture says, that weeping may endure till the night, but joy certainly comes in the morning. It's of the goodness of God for you to understand that you might be in your night season right now, but I bring you an assurance from God's word. The one who said to David that except the covenant of the day and night be broken, my covenant of peace shall not be broken with you, is an everlasting covenant. And so if you are in your night season right now, on the basis of the integrity of God's word, I bring you a hope. I bring you a consolation that your night season is going to be over soon. I bring you a consolation on the integrity of God's word, that night season is not going to last. That joy is going to come, and it's going to come at the nick of time. It's not going to tarry. It's not going to wait. It's not going to delay. It's going to come at the appointed time, because that is the way God does, and that is the way he operates. His goodness doesn't need anybody's validation. He does it as he wills. Nobody can stop him. When he says your night season, it's over. Believe it and accept it. It is over. It does not matter how long you have been in that challenge. When it is over, it is over. You know, we don't care about the evils that are happening around. I personally don't care about what is happening around, because I've experienced it first class, that you could be in trouble. The focus is not the trouble. The emphasis is not the trouble. The emphasis and the focus, the attention is on the good things that God is doing. Are you in doubt that God is at work behind the scene? You might not see it, you might not feel it, you might not understand it, but the fact remains that there is a God who is at work behind your life. He has not created you so that you can remain in that mess. He has not created you so that he can leave you and abandon you in that predicament. His ultimate goal and aim and intention and desire is that at the nick of time, his hand rescues you. He has done it before in the scriptures. He has done it for so many people before. He has done it for me before. If you could not believe any other thing, he has done it for me before. And I'm sure for some of us, he has done it for us too. And so you can believe him again and again, that the one who has done it before can do it again. And he's going to do it again. He doesn't withhold good from his own people. He doesn't withhold good. At no point in time has God ever withheld good. He's not a wicked God. The whole essence of this study is for us to come to understand and accept beyond every doubt that his goodness is sure. His goodness is certain. It's certain. So we see the work of creation. We see the things that are written in the scripture for us to learn from. And in verse 12, God called, in verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And again, God saw that it was good. You see, when you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, it calls for pondering. Because in chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Listen. Say, and the earth was without form and void. All right? Say, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Then suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord of God moved upon the face of the water. And immediately, verse 3, Bible says, and God said, let there be light. It tells me something, that God is always plotting to bring out the best out of a bad situation. It tells me something, that God is always devising means to correct every mess. God is always strategizing to ensure that what has been termed bad and evil turns out to become good and pleasant. That is his ways of doing things. And in this situation, all that God needed to do was to ensure that his spirit is at work. The Spirit of the Lord here talks about his personality, his personhood, bringing to fore to the situation, his person. And when Jesus, when God in his mercy shows up, you can be rest assured that something is going to change. Something is going to change. That has been the ways and the workings of God. And so at every moment, at every point in time that a challenge presents itself, no matter how great, how challenging that challenge looks, God has always come around to ensure that things turn out good. Nothing catches this God unawares. I'm sure you know that. Nothing catches our God by surprise. He's on top of the game. And I'm very, very confident that he's on top of the game as far as your life is concerned. Just hold on to him. Just accept the fact and the reality that he's a good God. And you will witness the goodness of the Lord in Jesus' name. So the time is running. I'll move on to the second thing here. And so, the second thing I'd like us to look at is the fact that God reveals his goodness through the creation of man. Creation of man. Still going through Genesis chapter 1 and in verse 26. Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Look at it critically. I don't know if you have seen it before. He said, let us make man in our image. After what? Our likeness. Number three. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. Remember what I said earlier, that the goodness of God is the perfection that we see in the work of creation. The goodness of God is the perfection that we see in creation. Then I also said to Ross that the goodness of God is the provision that God made for his creatures. Do you remember that? I also said to Ross that the goodness of God is the possibilities that comes with recreation. But the emphasis now is on the provision for the creatures. Looking about the non-living things and the living things, the Bible is explicit, is clear as to the fact that God indeed provided for the creatures. And then he reveals his goodness by deciding to create man. And Bible says that he created man in what? In his image, in his likeness. What a beautiful God. What an awesome God. God didn't create us to be lower in standard. God didn't create us to be a lesser being. God ensures that we share imagery with him. We share likeness with him. Have you thought about that reality? Have you thought about that fact? God ensures that in his likeness we are created. Look at what David says in Psalms chapter 8. He says that, why are you so mindful of man that you have created him? You made him a little lower than the angels, right? Why are you so mindful? Can we just go to that? Psalm chapter 8. I like us to see it as it is in the scriptures. Psalm chapter 8. It's Bible study, so please let's open our Bibles or you just find a way to ensure. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visits him? Verse 5. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and you have done what? You have crowned him with glory and honor. Where do you think that glory and honor comes from? It comes from the goodness of God. Because the personhood of God is his glory. I've told us that the nature of God is the glory of God. When God was going to ensure that Moses sees his glory, what did he do? He says that I will allow my goodness to pass before you. And God said, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of a rock, and you're going to see my back. And when you see my back, you will see my goodness pass before you. And God does that. And so the glory of God talks about the goodness of God. The goodness of God. That is what God did for humanity, for man, when everything was still in order. Man was perfect in creation. There was no mess, no error. You and I that God created, we were created in the most perfect way. Everything, the intellect, the possibilities, the imagination, whatever we could come up with and understand was already in man, in Adam. Adam was a complete God in man. Is that wrong to say? He was a complete God in man. That was what Jesus came to correct when Adam lost it. Because Jesus was God any man on earth. That was actually what Adam was. And so you and I in Adam were perfect. You and I in Adam were fully provided for. Can I have an amen to that? You and I in Adam were fully provided for. We're perfect in creation. We're perfect in all of the things that God has wrought on our inside. And then he also ensures that he provided satisfactorily, sufficiently for us. That was what God did. So out of his goodness, he created man to be in charge, to dominate the natural things created by God. God is not out of mind. Before he created man, he had already made provision. And so God placed man in what he has fully provided for. The eyes, Bible said that the eyes of all look to you. You give them their food at their proper time. In Psalm 145, verse 9, verse 15, and verse 16. Bible says, you open your hand and you satisfy the desires of every living thing. And this is how God has been dealing with man. What's the implication of this for you and I? What does this, imply? What's the implication of this for us? The implication is that we have a God who is, number one, is mindful of us. He's mindful. Can you say, God is mindful of me? He has never forgotten, has never abandoned me. According to his word, he said, I will not leave thee. I will not forsake you. He said, I'm going to be with you even till the end of age. We can go and sleep with those truths. People who had faith and confidence in God had done exploit with those truths and promises. Bible says that those who know their God, they will be strong and they will do what? They will do exploit for God. You and I are people of exploit. You and I are people of exploit in our various field of endeavors. We are people of exploit in the kingdom of God. We are men and women. We are individuals packaged by God to wrought exploit in life. You are not a non-entity. No, God has not created anybody as a nobody. Everybody is significant in the overall scheme of things as far as God is concerned. So he created you with his attention in place. He carefully wrought you to be who you are. Never despise who you are. Never you look down on who you are. You know, it was Pastor Shola who always says that the man who has faith in God cannot be underestimated, cannot be underrated. The fact that you have faith and you have confidence in God, I cannot look down on you. It doesn't matter what you look now, because what you are in God is super and super more than what you are. You look like now. Bible says that it does not matter. How does the Bible put it? It says that we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. It does not matter what we look like now. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. And so you are a work in progress. And that work is for you to become who Christ says you are. You never look down on yourself right now. You never look down on who you are. Maybe what you're wearing now, you feel like this is not what you're supposed to be wearing. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with what God has wrought. God didn't define us by the clothes that we wear. He doesn't define us by the jobs that we do. He doesn't define us by the places that we live or where we come from. What matters most is the work that he has wrought in you. And ultimately, he wrought a greater work in you in recreation. We'll come to that later. And so this is how God has been dealing with us. So as I conclude tonight, that I've shown us two things. The last thing that I would like to show us, but then we'll pick it up from there next week, has to do with the fact that God longs for a family. God desires fellowship with humans out of his goodness. He does that successfully with Adam, and he, Bible says, that he comes in the close of the day and he fellowships with man. He spends time with man. That has been the ultimate desire of God, that man and God can be in fellowship, that man and God can be in union. That's the ultimate. So God longs for a family. And so the desire of God from creation, from beginning, is to have every person in a family. There's a place in Psalm, it says that it keeps the solitary in families. It keeps the solitary in families. God didn't create anybody to be all alone. And the way God does it ultimately now is that the church of God is a family. Aren't we a family here? Aren't we glad that we belong to a family of God and we can be called by the name of God? We have Brother Alu read in Isaiah chapter 62, he said, "And you shall be called by a new name." So it doesn't matter what your name looks like. Your name might be Ifarinde. Your name can be Yetunde or whatever. It doesn't matter where your background looks. You have a new name in Jesus. You have a new name in God. You have a new identity. You have an identity that is established on the integrity of the goodness of God. Because he intentionally put you in that family, intentionally, so that you can be perfected, number one, so that you can be well provided for, number two, and then number three, so that all of the possibilities that we can think of as far as God is concerned, we can be availed such privilege. You don't underestimate yourself. You can raise the dead. You can heal the sick. You can bring down the mountain. Challenges, you can surmount it. Nothing is impossible for you as long as you are in Christ Jesus. That's the whole lesson. Praise the living Jesus. So, in Psalm 107, we've read up to the last verse that we read today was Psalm 107, verse 21. So, when I just picked two out of the 4 points, then next week I'm going to touch on the other two. Number one, when we read from verse 1, the first thing that we see is that God comes to the rescue of people who are frantically searching for something or someone that will satisfy their soul. That's the intention of God. God, he comes to the rescue. In Psalms 107, you read that, oh, that man will praise. You know, when you read the first 8 verses, it comes intentionally, satisfactorily made provision for such longings, for such search of heart, for such desperation of heart, for such intentionality. If you so desire that I'm going to see God, I can assure you will see him. You will see him. Just lock yourself up for 3 days. Don't decide to see anybody. If you don't see God, come and tell me that you do not see God. Remove your phones, remove the lights, remove everything. Just be in the room for 3 days. If you don't see God, come and tell me that God does not exist. You will see God. When you shut out everything and you come up with that intention that you want to see God, you will see him. Bible says, why did I know that? Because Bible says that, and you will search and you will find me. When you have done what? When you have searched with all of your heart. The essence, you know, there's nothing special about you shutting yourself up for 3 days so that you don't quote me wrong, okay? There's nothing special about that. The whole essence and the point is that intentionality, searching with the whole of your heart. If you can achieve that in your day without any shutting yourself up, whatever, it's okay. Or if there's going to be a distraction, it's going to be a problem with that, you can be rest assured that God is going to show up, because he has assured us that we're going to find him. Number two, God intervenes in the lives of those who have rebelled against the word of God and who have suffered for it. Maybe because of rebellion of the past, you have been afflicted. God doesn't afflict you. Get me right. You have been afflicted by the devil. Devil is the author. Is the author of everything that is evil. Okay? So maybe by your rebellion against God, you become exposed to the affliction of the devil. What God does is that he intervenes. He's such a good God. This is how he has revealed his goodness. He intervenes. He intervenes against, you know, in the lives of those who have rebelled. Then he delivers them from their distresses. He breaks the chains of sin that bind them and turns their night today. Have I said that today? He turns night today. He changes situations and circumstances. He ensures that the good comes out of your life. And then that's going to be last. I'm just going to pause there. So this is the ways that God has revealed himself to us in his goodness. Demonstrated all of this. And is still dealing with men till date. Aren't you glad about that? I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. I'd like us to rise to our feet tonight. And then we'll sing, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good.
Every bread that I am able, I will sing. Of the goodness
of God. Can we sing it again?
In the morning, in the noontime,
your goodness is running out.